Father, we just thank you for this, just another awesome night we can come together, and we just ask your blessing on tonight, Lord. We thank you for just working on the connections here, and just bringing forth just a clear sound, clear, talking. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you. Just guide and direct us tonight, Lord. And we come against any other distractions with the equipment. And we just call tonight to be blessed in Jesus' name, Lord. Just guide and direct us. Let us edify each other and edify you and lift each other up in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Marlon Gaynell, I did mute you. I'm going to try to unmute you, because there was some little bit of static there. But if you can try to mute your phone and see if it straightens out. If not, I don't know what else to do. Maybe even try calling it on the other number and see if there's a difference. So, all right, let's... does anybody need prayer tonight? Is there anything that we need to pray about?
Well, I'd like to pray for my daughter, who's in jail. She got in trouble by smoking in the bathroom. She knows you're not supposed to do that. And so...
she went to jail for smoking in the bathroom?
No, she is in jail, but she got in trouble.
I'm just kidding.
Well,
go ahead.
Tell her that smoking gets in trouble. But anyhow, dear Heavenly Father, I want to bring Angie up to you and have you... help her with her smoking, Lord. Take that smoking desire out of her. And if you want to, make her sick when she smokes. That would be good. But just bless her and let her know that you're the one that's taking this desire of her that she wants to smoke. And then she'll know it's you because she wants to smoke. So when you take that out of her, she'll know that's you. And let her have that knowledge and that knowing that you're the one that did it, Lord. Be with her and all that she does, and thank you so much, Lord, for being with my whole family. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we just pray that you just do a work in her, Lord, that she will just see that the errors of her way and, you know, why she ended up in jail. And Lord, just send somebody to, you know, just plant seeds in her. And we just pray for her salvation, that she'll, you know, come into the fullness of you, into your knowledge, Lord. And we just thank you for just working in her. And we thank you for her salvation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, Gaynold, let's hear.
Well, are we still underwater?
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm on the 800 number. I don't know why. I tried the other one 3 times. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll mention it to Kevin and see what how that might have affected it, you know, as far as that. So, but we can hear you fine now. So, all right,
okay.
Anybody else need prayer or would like to pray for somebody? Or has got somebody on their heart? Or just wants us to join faith with their faith in a situation? All right. How about any praise reports? Anybody want to brag on the Lord or got anything to share? Got a quiet bunch out there tonight.
Yep.
I'll kind of share a something that happened this, I think it was this week. My son came in, I don't know when it was, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. I don't know when it was exactly. But he came in town and brought a couple of friends with him, and they decided that they were going to go to each other's church. And so they decided that they were going to come in for the pot blessing. Michael Hare, you're breathing awfully loud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I
So, sound like an obscene phone call there. But.
Come on, Tim. Give me some slack here, brother. Oh, my goodness.
So, anyways, I'm messing with you. So anyway, so he brought in a couple of his buddies, and we had set up. They came in on a Friday night, and I invited Michael and David and a few other single guys over, and we just had dinner and with my son. They're all the guys that he's working with are all pretty much church Christians, and there's a mix of denominations up there. And. And Luke gets real frustrated because every time they sit down, they have Bible studies like, every morning. But when they get together for these Bible studies, they just get into all this, theology and what this pastor said and what this book said. And they spend all their time there. They're kind of, arguing about, all different things that are just not even, do aborted babies go to heaven and all this stuff. And so Luke's been kind of frustrated and so they decided to come in. And so we spent Friday night, and it was kind of neat. I don't know how long it was, but David, the one gentleman, just asked, if David would share some testimonies as far as what God has done in his life. And David went on, I don't even know how long it was. It was probably 45 minutes to an hour plus. I mean, he just shared testimony after testimony, and it was pretty awesome. And then Michael started sharing testimonies, and I think I shared some testimonies. And the whole night, we really didn't get into the Word. We just got into testimonies. It was just, just the miraculous things the Lord is, what we've seen the Lord do and stuff like that. Which I think was, stretching them a little bit. But the one gentleman, his name is Scott, shared a testimony with us that he one day wanted to go and read the Bible, and he was going to go down by the river, at this camp, and there was just gnats everywhere. And he just envisioned sitting by the river and just reading the Word. And he just asked a real simple prayer and said, Lord, these gnats are just bothering. And I just wanted to come down here and enjoy your Word. And he said the next thing, there was like a shield around him. I mean, the gnats were everywhere, but there was like a shield totally around him. And he said he sat down and the gnats didn't bother him at all. And, he shared that testimony, which I thought was pretty, pretty cool. And there was one gentleman that was supposed to come that didn't end up coming because his parents, looked up David on the internet and said, no, you're not going up there. And, so there's a little bit of controversy in that. But when they ended up having to leave early. And they came to the pot blessing, they ate, and before we really got into praise and worship or anything like that, they had a situation back at camp and they had to leave early. So they really didn't even stay for praise and worship or teaching or anything like that. But when they were here, the interesting thing was is that one of the gentlemen picked up the book on the curse of unforgiveness. And he was reading that book while we were cooking breakfast or something in the morning. And he was kind of glued to that book for a little while. And then when they were packing up, he asked if
you're underwater, Tim.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't know what.
You're better now.
All right. Let me. How long was I underwater?
Just a few seconds.
Okay, do I sound all right now?
You do now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you do now. You were talking about him giving up that, reading that curse of unforgiveness in breakfast.
Yeah, okay, so he was reading the curse of unforgiveness, and then when they were packing up, he asked if he could have that book, and I said, sure, take it with you. Well, about a week ago, I asked Luke, I said, if he, asked the gentleman anything. asking about the, you know, the book that he was reading, and he said no. But the other gentleman, whose name was Scott,
man, you're underwater again.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Father, we just thank you so much for clearing up the communications for the conference call. In the name of Jesus, I command the demons that are disrupting this to leave this conference call right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we have clear communications now and throughout the rest of this conference call in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you're good.
All right. Well, just let me know if I need to call in on the phone or something, but we're believing that this is healed. So the bottom line is the other gentleman that was here, he was kind of an intellectual, and he was the one that was really into all the books and all that. And he was kind of, a little bit more negative or that. But I ended up getting a letter from this young man, and he's probably in his early 20s, and he wrote me a letter saying that he appreciated, you know, coming up here, and they were sorry they had to leave early. And then he went on to tell me that he had finished both Sovereign God and The Curse of Unforgiveness. And he says, you know, while I certainly agree with some things and have really enjoyed being challenged with some new ideas, there are also plenty of things where my theology still differs. As such, as I'd love to hear what you think and discuss a few things. And basically, he was just going through and saying that, you know, he believes in the once saved, always saved, was one of the big things that he was saying. He agrees that there's a lot of highly skeptical people claiming to be Christians, that he doesn't see, you know, any Christ in. And he agrees with James, you know, as far as seeking, the fruits of truth. So he was going into some depth as far as that. But, you know, he was just basically in this letter, he was just saying that He was being challenged. It says, he says, however, I can't reconcile the total sovereignty calling of God and his election with the elect being able to lose their salvation at any point for any reason. What do I believe is that though neglecting power and spiritual growth, a true believer can lose his fellowship and power, but not his actual salvation. That is left for a person who never truly believed and therefore never truly had salvation to begin with. And I really, you know, see that they justify this by saying that if somebody backslides or falls away from the Lord, they pretty much say that, well, you know, he never was saved in the first place, is how they, you know, kind of justify their take on the once saved, always saved. And similarly, realize his unbelief that was there all, you know, that he didn't have unbelief there all along. I haven't found scriptures where I see the threat of losing salvation, but rather the promise of security for those who believe. The fear is for those who aren't living out such belief. So he's trying to tie it into the belief, but he's hanging on to his doctrine, you know, as far as that. He says, similarly, while I agree a lot with much of the repercussions of unforgiveness and many of the topics presented, I maintain that it can't have an impact on salvation itself. Yes, blessings are forsaken and fellowship is hindered, but I disagree with making a connection between those things and salvation. The main passage used was, of course, Matthew 6, but it seems to me that the rest of the sermon is relevant to how Jesus was teaching at that time. If Jesus is speaking completely literally, that my personal unforgiveness will actually cause God not to forgive me, then is he not speaking just as literally when he commands for hands to be chopped off if they cause sin? Jesus commanded perfection in the sermon and decrees that it is impossible to reach heaven without it. But when I read this passage, what I see is God coming to people who thought they were okay, who thought they had the whole spiritual thing under control and making the situation hopeless, pointing out the actual impossibility of what the law requires so that no one would be deceived, that they could actually accomplish it. And thus, salvation is to come through Jesus alone by believing in him alone and what he did on the cross, to pay for all the sins that make it impossible to reach heaven. Murder and lust and unforgiveness alike, is this not a more inclusive interpretation of all the things he was saying at that time? So he's really trying to, play the part of that you can't lose your salvation, even for unforgiveness. You know, he's just, well, we're forgiven for everything. So, so if you're in unforgiveness, you still have salvation. But the positive thing is he said, I would love to hear some of the thoughts on at least couple of these points. Also, I'd be very interested if David has anything on the Sabbath or what it means to rest, especially in today's world. This has been one of the recent areas of study, and I'd love to see what thoughts he has on the subject. So now he's asking for more meat, as far as that, which I thought was pretty cool. Likewise, if he has any other books related to salvation, especially what it means to have it or lose it, I'd love to get a hold of something like that. There is much of my theology that I am constantly changing as I continue to study and grow in my faith. I expect to be taught and to learn, and I have greatly enjoyed David's book so far and his way of approaching some issues that aren't often addressed. I do not intend to fully agree with anything I read, save the Bible itself, as I pray that the Holy Spirit might make clear the truth within it to me. Thanks once again for your hospitality. I look forward to hearing back from you and being strengthened in my faith. So I was really seeing, here's a young guy that, he ended up reading both Sovereign God and The Curse of Unforgiveness. It sounded like it really challenged him, and now he's asking for more information, which is all just an answered prayer, because we've been praying for these young men, we've been praying for my son, and I'm seeing that it's sparking there. So I ended up sending him, I emailed him back, and I kind of gave him my testimony a little bit on just growing in Christ and just allowing the Lord to teach me and counting everything as dung and just being led of the Spirit, not letting, the more I sought teachings of a lot of different men and theologies and stuff like that, the more confused I got. But David was somebody that challenged me, and just it was scripture after scripture after scripture. And I told him that we don't have to agree in everything. Just be a disciple, a learner, a follower of the Word. And, so I just kind of just build him up. And then I, as far as just growing in Christ and staying in the Word and be led of the Lord and not of man. And, so I ended up sending him Salvation Instant Progressive. And I sent him something I found that David wrote on the True Sabbath. And then today I mailed off Perfection in Christ and The Real Good News. And I would like to just kind of pray for this young man. I know the you know, he's getting a little bit of truth in him. It's going against his theology. And, you know, he's being challenged, which is a good thing. So, Father, right now, I just bind up these religious spirits. I just bind up these principles and powers, this just believe type doctrine. And, Lord, I just ask you just open Scott's spiritual ears to hear and eyes to see truth. And just put a hunger in him to just seek after your truth, Lord. And we just thank you for just bringing him into the fullness of your truth, Lord, fullness of your word, and allow him to just to see just truth, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Michael, do I still sound okay? Because I'm getting kind of a static in my headphones.
Well, you've got a lot of noise in it, but we can at least understand everything you're saying.
Okay. You think I should try to go back out and come back in?
That might help. I don't know what's going on, but your speech is okay. It's just the noise behind you. Just a little bit of noise behind you.
Okay, because that's what I'm hearing in my ears right now.
Okay.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
All right. So while I get out, I mean, if anybody else has got a thought on once saved, always saved, or, you know, maybe what you went through or something like that, and I'm just going to bounce out and come back in.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, I know when I was first saved, I was saved in the Baptist church. Baptized in the Baptist church because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know anything about any of it at all. But I never did. I always had misgivings about that once saved, always saved, even when I was in the Baptist church. And then when I found out, you know, by reading the scriptures and finding out that even Paul, you know, he said, I have to buffet my body daily lest I be rejected. I said, well, wait a minute. If I'm once saved, always saved, I don't have to worry about that. So, but anyway, you still got some noise there. I don't know if it's in your headset. Do you have it plugged in real good, Tim? Yeah. Maybe you need to check to see if his, Trish, tell him to check, make sure that headset's plugged in real good. But anyway, I always had problems with it. And I had a Baptist friend of mine that was at work, and we would often discuss it, and I'd go through the scriptures. And of course, he'd question, you know, well, I don't know, you know, all I know is that, you know, once saved, always saved. But at the end, before they closed that plant down, he finally got a revelation of it. So praise God for that. Anybody else had any experience with the once saved, always saved doctrine?
Hey, brother.
Hey, Sue.
Yeah, I remember feeling that, you know, at first I thought, well, once saved, always saved. We all want that, you know, our flesh wants that. But there's two scriptures that bothered me for a while, and when I finally got the realization of them, it changed me. If we're once saved, always saved, then why do we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? That was one that always...
Yeah, passed. That's another good one. Absolutely.
And the other one was Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will be clothed, clothed us in white garments, and I shall by no means erase his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And I thought, why does he have to say that? We'll not erase our name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, you're real noisy, Tim. Yeah. Just go ahead and mute. Just stay on, but mute as soon as talking. Yeah, hang on, Sue.
Okay.
just a minute. Hang on just for a second. Let me see if I... Tim, can you hear me? Okay, Sue, go ahead.
Yeah, when I saw that, that he by no means he won't erase our name, well, that just that thought, okay, why would he put that in there unless he could erase our name?
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing is... Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what really got me, that scripture, you know, because it's like, wow, he could erase my name. It's written in there. Once we could save it, it's written in there, but he could erase my name. And then there's another one. I don't know where it is or how it's written. I can't remember exactly. I think it might be in Timothy, but it talks about how ones that have gone too far and crucified Christ afresh. What is that?
Yeah.
They have
Absolutely. Nothing.
So, you know, those scriptures kind of make you wonder, you know, and that puts the fear of God in you.
It should. I've heard leaders in the Baptist church preach and teach that it's okay to take the mark because you've got that once saved, always saved. Now, you talk about dangerous.
Yeah.
Those people are in danger. David's got a book out called Destructive Demon Doctrines. And, of course, he goes through the once saved, always saved. And now there are tons, just literally bunches of scriptures that go against that once saved, always saved. So, and also pre-tribulation rapture. But anyway, there's Tim.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, well, that's good. Thank you, Sue.
Uh-huh.
Are you any better, Tim? That. Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good. You're sounding real good.
Well, I'm on my phone right now. I came back in and I couldn't get any sound, so I don't know what was going on. So
we could hear you. It had that awful noise behind it.
Okay. Could be something my headset or something like that. So.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize, everybody.
No problem.
So, that's what I miss.
Sue was talking about some scriptures that go against once saved, always saved, and just a few of them, and we talked a little bit about, you know, the mark of the beast. What are they going to do when the mark comes up? And I've heard, I was telling them that I had heard leaders in the Baptist church speak that it's okay to take the mark because you're saved. There's no way you can lose your salvation. And so that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
To lead people astray like that. Let me ask you something. Are you able to work as an administrator when you're on the phone like that?
Well, I think so. I was able to
okay.
mute myself. So if I can't, then you'll just have to. I've got all the controls, so I think it's going to be okay. I just
okay.
You know, for some reason it was just the sound was coming in.
Yeah.
But I was. You know, I'd looked into, you know, they use the whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have eternal life, for God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believe on him is not judged. He that believes not hath been judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And, you know, so it's just, they tie everything into just believing. And I was there too. I just, I just believe that, you know, you just believe in Jesus and you got eternal life and you just go to church and pay your tithe and every, you know, you end up going to heaven. And, but there was always, you know, scriptures, probably like, you know, some of the things Sue brought up that I would, you know, read that didn't make sense. And when it didn't make sense, you know, I would always just kind of justify it. Well, that's for the people that aren't saved. And, or I would just kind of ignore it as not believing it because it didn't line up with what I believed. And then once I came into, you know, the Lord led me into UBM, I was really challenged in a lot of different areas, just like probably this young man. And David started really teaching on as far as, you know, in Christ or in the name of Christ. And you start getting some depth behind there, and then all of a sudden everything just, you know, starts coming alive in the scriptures. And you know, in, you know, the scripture it says that you know, nobody will snatch me away and stuff like that. You know, they pull out all these scriptures, you know, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principalities or nor, you know, things present or things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, you know, there's two things there. Separate us from the love of God. Yeah, God loves us, but we're the ones that separate. You know, he loves us. He, you know, but we need to walk in obedience. So he's always going to love us. But it says, which is in Christ Jesus. And if you don't understand what it is to be in Christ Jesus, it says that, you know, you need to walk as he walked. And, you know, they even use the scripture that says that, you know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Saying, hey, yeah, I'm sealed in there. But most of them have already denied the Holy Spirit as far as not being baptized in the Holy Spirit and really don't understand. They believe that when they get saved, they've got the Holy Spirit. And, you know, so they've got no depth of the Holy Spirit. You know, and then they even use that, you know, that it's written that none is righteous, no, not one. So they, you know, they truly believe that, you know, it's impossible for a man to do anything that's written in the Bible because he says that, you know, we're not righteous and we're not good. And, you know, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he has become guilty of all. So they think that we, you know, we can't live a perfect, you know, sinless life. Of our, you know, onto salvation, that it's, in, you know, it's unscriptural or arrogant to think that, you know, man, we're just sinners and we can't live perfect and we can't live, you know, Jesus, you know, raised the bar even higher when he said, if you look on a woman, you know, you're in fornication with her, you know, so they think that, well, you know, he's just raised the bar so, he's just made it so impossible. So since he's made it so impossible that, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace because we can't be anything other than sinners. And and what I saw was it takes the fear of the Lord out of walking with Christ. There's no fear there. So if you don't fear that you could lose your salvation or fall away or anything like that, you can just, you know, live in sin and, you know, just say Jesus and just go to church and, you know, everything's going to be fine. And it's just like David, you know, teaches just a lying demon doctrine, you know, that is fallen through. And it, And what it does is it fills the pews. It just, it makes it a, just all you got to do is believe and, you know, come on in and, you know, we're going to entertain you and tickle your ears and you know, and there's very little truth there. And what it did for me was I quit reading the Bible because I was going in on Sunday being entertained. They would quote one scripture and then do a whole sermon on one scripture. And then they'd read something out of the, you know, they'd quote something out of the Old Testament and they'd collect the tithe. And it was just, you know, it was just what they did and what they knew. And until David challenged me to really, because I never even read the scriptures about warning of the false teachers and the false prophets and all that. And you think that, well, that's the Mormons or that's, you know, the, you know, Hare Krishnas or whatever it is. You don't think that the guy standing on the pulpit could be a false teacher. You just don't think that because everybody's got a Bible and you know, you just don't have a concept that you're in one of those situations, especially in, if you're in one of these mega churches that's growing and you got 1,000 people and it's you know, the country club religion as far as that. So I just remember, you know, as far as David just teaching, you know, just challenging me to really dig into the scriptures and really see that, you know, it says, you know, in that scripture about for God loved the world that gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then it says, and in the numerics it says that whosoever believeth have in him eternal life. So the numeric says whoever believeth have in him. So you need to be in him to have eternal life. And then I think it's the I think the King James says you got to believe in him, and the numeric says unto him. And it just, it changes the whole meaning behind that, because we're believing onto the name, which is the nature, character, and authority of Jesus. You know, on or onto denotes nearness or closeness or continuity, you know, being in contact or supported by something. And to or into is a position or point reached or entered of place, time, or purpose. So it's just not believing in, it's a position or point reached is to be in continuity with Jesus so that our position reached is to walk as he walked in the same nature, in the same qualities, the same attributes of Jesus, you know, to walk in his temperament and, you know, in his body, and have the same, you know, character. It just brings a whole different meaning into just believism, you know, as far as that. So and that's where it really, being a disciple, being a learner of the word, and really digging in to the meanings behind the words and what the Lord is trying to show you, it just brings the word alive as far as that. So so I don't know. That's, I just know that when the Lord, I'm just coming into more of a feeling that when the Lord shakes things and people don't fly away and, you know, they are going through tribulation, there's going to be so many people that just have all kinds of questions. And, you know, hopefully we've got the truth. And, you know, the Lord is going to lead them to us to, you know, speak the truth and just show them where, you know, where the deception came in as far as that. So, but, yeah, it's just kind of a lying doctrine out there. So, all right, anybody else have any any thoughts on what they used to believe and how they came into the fullness, or how they deal with, you know, people with the once saved, always saved.
Yeah, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we run into that quite a bit at the detention centers. One of the verses here is in Colossians 1, 22 or 23, and it says, if so be that ye continue in the faith. It goes on, you know. So that's a, you know, it tells you what you have to do, and then it says, if so be. So it's not a sure thing. The Bible says that several different places. And then in John 15, 1 to 6, it says, you know, that verse, those verses you read there about you can't, you know, they use those verses, but in John 15, 1 to 6, it says the Father himself will take them out if they don't bear fruit.
Right, right. Have you ever had anybody try to justify that?
What do you mean?
As far as what that means to them?
Oh, well, no. They've probably never seen it, right?
It's never been pointed out.
That's right. Yeah. Most of them will say, well, I never knew that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I thought, you know, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, it was like, well, if I'm saved, why, what's this fear and trembling stuff, you know? And, but that's really it, is a lot of them have not seen, you know, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, it's like, well, what do we need to endure, man? I'm just, you know, stepped over the line, I'm going to heaven, and, you know, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of life eternal. You know, what are we fighting for, you know? So, but, yes, because I remember when I was reading, you know, it's, all of a sudden you'd read something and it was like, you know, I would try to, you know, he that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. Well, I used to believe, well, you know, when you go to heaven, you get your white garments, and if you're lost, you don't get the white garments, and, you know, but, you know, so if you don't get the white garments, that you're going to be, you know, written out of the book of life, you know, that was one thing David started pointing out. He said, you know, he says he's talking to the church, he's talking to Christians here, it says brethren, it says, you know, you know, I always looked at it, well, it's got to be talking to lost. But then one day I'm thinking is, you know, do the lost even read the Bible? You know, he's reading it for us. It's our instruction manual, but, you know, it's just amazing. And the thing is the more depth you have, and then as you're reading the words, you see it everywhere. And you just, you're like, well, how can't people see this? And the only reason they're not seeing is the Lord hasn't given them eyes to, you know, to see or ears to hear. They've been given over to a stupor or something, because once you've got some truth in you, then you start seeing the truth all throughout the scriptures. And it just really starts sticking out. It just looks so common, you think, how can people miss this? You know? But it's, you know, that's you know, kind of the sad state that the church is in, you know, these days. So.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that's the problem with the Baptist church and most of the other churches, in my estimation, is that they don't understand what salvation is, nor do they understand what faith is. What they believe that faith is, well, I believe in Christ, and he died on the cross, rather than to believe in the promises and all of those things that we've learned through the years. That's where they miss it. And of course, they don't believe in the sovereignty of God. They think that God's in one corner and Satan's in the other corner, and they're sitting there butting heads. But They don't understand the whole concept of God and creation. So that's a big step for them to believe like we do. It's a real big step for them. If they've been in it all their life.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I read in Sovereign God where David points out that one angel bound up Satan.
Amen.
That was liberating. I never thought of it that way, because when I was in the church, it was like, yeah, they're battling it out, and Satan won this battle, and we need to pray harder, and maybe the angels will win the next battle, and if anything bad happened, oh, it was Satan. They didn't see God in it, and you know, to come into the fullness of understanding that God created Satan, and he's a tool for, you know, for the Lord, and I mean, it just made sense. You know, really understanding the sovereignty of God just really made sense. And understanding faith and understanding works, you know, being able to just pray and enter the rest. I mean, I think we talked about that last week, is what the rest really is, praying, believing, and entering the rest. And there's, I mean, that's liberating when you understand that. And if you're not in the rest, then you're in works, and there's no faith behind works. So what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get you into work, or get you into doubt. So, but once you've got a fullness of what entering the rest is, it really is liberating. At least it was for me. It's just, you know.
Well, listen, take this, for example. Judas was doing all the works. He was doing all the miracles. He was doing everything that the other disciples was doing. And yet when he turned God, Jesus, over to the Pharisees, that was it for him. He was reprobated. He couldn't cry. He wanted to forgive, but he couldn't. He was gone. So what I'm saying is Judas was walking with Jesus. He was talking with Jesus. He was doing all of the miracles that the other disciples, when they went out, he went out with them. But yet, there again, he was reprobated. So he was called. He was a Christian. He was doing the walk. You know, he was in sin, you know. But at the end, the Lord wouldn't let him back in. He had unforgiveness in his heart.
Yeah, that's a good, I never even thought about that. He was saved. He was called.
Yeah.
He was a disciple, and he fell away. So do the Baptists believe he's in heaven?
No.
They believe he was never saved in the first place.
He wasn't saved in the first place.
He was just a plant of the devil.
Yeah, he was on the devil's list there. So and that's how they justify all of those that backslide. You know, well, they wasn't saved anyway. You know, well, how do you know? You know. Yeah, it's always been a mystery to me how they can justify it, but they do, and they try to justify their sin is what they're doing. They don't want to crucify the old man. They don't want to have to give up the sins that the little sins, the little pet sins that they have, you know. For goodness sake, they're not even, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, and don't believe in being filled up with the Holy Spirit with the baptism of with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They don't believe in tongues. None of that stuff. I had a Baptist preacher that I was saved under his ministry. I baptized in his church. It was a fairly large church. I don't know. It's probably 500-600 people in it. And I had a vision of the church. I think I've told y'all about it. Of that church, while I was in it, I was out doing, you know, I had found out about healing, that Jesus healed, and I was out with this other guy, and we were seeing miracles every weekend. And I went to that preacher after I had that vision, and we all kind of on a first name basis. He about the same age I was. And I told him about this vision I had, and the vision was the church, the sanctuary was full of people, and there were people on both sides of the walls. They were lined up around the walls. And then the Holy Spirit came in there and just everybody hit the floor. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time. And I went to the pastor, and I knew God had called me out of there. And I told him about the vision, and I told him about some miracles that I had seen on the streets. And I said, is this somewhere, after I told him the vision, I said, is this somewhere you might be taking this church? Because it was not a normal Baptist church. They were a little more electrifying, if I might use that word, than most normal Baptist churches. There were some times that the Holy Spirit was moving in there, but they would always, you know, suppress it. But anyway, his response to me was, well, Michael, I believe everything you've told me is the truth, but that's just not my ministry. That's his exact words. That's just not my ministry. And boy, I was heartbroken. That just grieved me. And but you know what happened? About a year later, this pastor's daughter married a guy that was full gospel. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. The pastor went over there and started going to that church over in another town, and got filled with the Holy Spirit himself, and brought it back to the Baptist church. And of course, the old staunch Baptist people in that church wouldn't allow it, and he got kicked out of there. But that's the mindset of that particular denomination, and I'm sure it is of most of the other ones too. Don't bring any kind of foreign religion to us in here, and it's foreign to them. The Holy Spirit is foreign to them. It scares them. It really scares them. They think that if people lay hands on you to speak in tongues, that it might be of the devil, and that's where they get in trouble. But anyway, that's just a little short testimony.
Yeah, it's just pretty amazing. I started when Luke was, they were getting in a debate about tongues up at camp, and I told Luke, I said, why don't we do a Bible study? And I ended up listening to one of David's teachings and just went through that. And it was a 2-hour teaching. I only went through 1 hour. And I was just writing down the scriptures that David was bringing forth just on the Holy Spirit. And I probably had, it was amazing that there is just so much in there just on receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and that. I probably had 6-8 pages of scriptures. It was amazing. There's just so much in there on the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and that. But you know, you just see how they twist it by the way it's written, or, you know, if you don't have an interpreter and all this stuff, but it's all in there. And, but they just try to twist everything just to justify their fear or, you know, whatever. And when I was doing that study, I ended up Googling it, and I mean, there was just all these factious websites on, you know, just how tongues is of the devil. And I mean, it was, I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen all that stuff. And it's just, so if you're looking, that's what I've come to the conclusion is, if you're looking for anything negative or anything positive, you can find whatever you want on the internet to support whatever your beliefs are. There's something out there that'll just support it. And it's just, you just can't believe anything out there or anything in the news or that. It's just, there's so much trash out there. It's unbelievable. So,
you know what, I often tell these Baptist people, I said, look, go to Revelation chapter 22 and read the last page. Of course, you know where I'm going with this. It's 18 and 19. He said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. And I've said that to a number of them. And you know what they tell me, Tim?
What's that?
They say, well, that's talking about Revelation. I say, oh, okay. So you just don't talk to them anymore. They consider that talking about Revelation rather than the Holy Spirit talking about the whole book.
So they throw out?
They throw out Genesis through to Revelation. They say only Revelation, that this is only applying to the book of Revelation, not the whole book, the whole Bible, in which it's actually talking about. It's talking about the whole Bible.
Wow. So that doesn't apply to them, because that is Revelation. That's just for end times. Is that, I'm trying to get an idea of what they're saying.
Well, they don't understand Revelation to begin with, because they don't have eyes to hear or eyes to see and ears to hear the spirit of Revelation. And so they don't think anybody does. Therefore, it only applies to Revelation. So they leave Revelation alone.
Okay.
Unless it comes to the tribulation, of course, they go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, that kind of stuff, where actually they get tripped up. But anyway, that's just their doctrine, and that's why God's going to shake the land under their feet. And the ones who are hungry, like this young man you're talking about, that guy is going to start thinking about his theology and throw it out the window and go get in the Word. Those people are going to be hungry for the Word. Those type of people are. That doctrine goes out the window when your world underneath your feet is shaking.
Right. I mean, that's really what it's going to take.
Yeah. There are tons of scriptures in there that talk about the Holy Spirit. Not only that, there's tons of scriptures in there that talk against once saved, always saved. If you just go in there and if you look in and you take time to do a study on it, David mentions it almost in every Bible study that he does a number of times. Those scriptures that it's either a spiritual meaning or it's a literal meaning. And yet they throw them out the window as so much garbage to them because of that tradition of man that they've got. But like I said, God's going to shake them loose. He's going to shake them loose from the foundation of their traditional and man's religion, that that other Jesus that they're trying to bring in, you know, to the church. God's going to get a hold of them.
Yeah, that's the other problem, is if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you just read everything as literal. And it's very difficult to understand it. So what happens is you end up going and listening to a pastor, because when you read the word, you're just seeing everything literal. And the other thing that, you know, is an issue is young Christians, you know, starting off in the King James is another, I mean, that really kind of messed me up, is trying to understand King James. And one day I just got a Living Bible and I started reading in that, and it read more like a book, and I could get, you know, for a young Christian, it was just much better for me, you know. But this, you know, King James only is another thing. But even when I do eSword, I can see so many places that the King James twist stuff, and you know, and that's another lie that people are under, is that King James only. That's all tied in with that once saved, always saved, and unconditionally, you know, or you know, we're gonna fly away and all that. So, but
yeah, that's true. They're not going to come to the truth until God shakes their world out from under them. But then they will. A lot of them will.
Yeah, I was looking at, because the other one is 1 John 2:24, is, as for you, let that abide in you, which ye heard from the beginning. If that which ye heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And that's another key thing, is that's the full gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they're doing is they're chopping up the gospel and, you know, we'll accept this, throw this out, I like this, that one is to crucify and get rid of that one, you know. And if you're only going to church, you're only hearing, you know, what they're pulling out. And but to be, you know, that what was heard from the beginning is what Jesus spoke to the disciples. You know, that's the voice they heard, and the truth and the instruction that they were taught, and then that's what they put into the Word of God. And you know, so I was just saying that it's just important that we just hang on to the Word and not man's interpretation or, you know, doctrine or, you know, how they twist it. But most people just don't understand that. They don't have and that's part of the Nicolaitan error, is they've got a pastor who's, you know, the apostle, the prophet, you know, he's handling it all, and there's no fivefold ministry there. There's no accountability there. I mean, he's pretty much calling the shots. So, you know, that's part of that, you know. The other thing I saw is when they always use that, you know, the sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. But when you look at that, if you back up a little bit, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. And the works that were done in the Father's name were healing and deliverance and provision and resurrection from the dead and miracles and signs and wonders and all these things that Jesus was walking in, is what they didn't, you know, he was walking in all these miracles and they didn't believe him. And he says it's because they're not his sheep. And the same thing is happening today, that if there's no power of God being manifested in the body, then that is evidence that the body is not in Christ Jesus. And they are not believing that which they heard from the beginning. and they are not his sheep, and they are not abiding in him. They're just believing in Jesus. So they think that if they just believe that they're sheep, but there needs to be obedience there. There needs to be abiding, which is, you know, walking as he walked. And so they're using that scripture to say, well, we're there, you know, we're his sheep and we've got eternal life and we're never going to perish and nobody's going to snatch us away and all that. But when you really get the depth of what they're, you know, what the Lord is saying there, I mean, you don't see the power of God manifested in most churches, you know, because they don't believe what was spoken from the beginning. So,
well, John chapter 3, verse 13 comes to mind to me, how they don't utilize this one. This is one they throw out. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. In other words, Christ is the only one that's going to go up, right? So right. If you're not bearing the fruit of Christ in your life, you ain't going up. That's that parable in Luke chapter 13, verse. I'm looking here in that destructive demon doctrines right now. It's where I'm getting these. You've only got a certain amount of time to bear fruit. Luke 13 and 6 gives us that parable, and y'all can read it. I'm not going to read it, but it talks about when Jesus walked by there and he kept seeing that fig tree out there not bearing fruit, and he wanted the guy to cut it down. Remember what the guy told him? Well, let me go ahead and dung it a little bit more and see if it's going to bear fruit. And if it don't bear fruit, I'll go ahead and cut it down. Well, when you cut something down, that takes the life out of it. So that's another one that's spiritually. You'd have to see it spiritually. If you just look at it in the literal, they're just talking about farming. So that's what I'm saying. They can't see spiritually speaking. Their spiritual eyes haven't been opened.
Yep. And the thing is, we've got a. What's that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying we've got a lot of relatives and stuff that are in. I've got a sister in the Catholic Church, and they don't even read the Bible. So it's kind of a sad thing as far as that. So what were you going to say, Michael?
Well, I was going to say what they're doing is what Isaiah 4 says, and seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread. We'll bring our own Jesus and wear our own apparel. We'll call ourselves righteous. Only let us be called by thy name. In other words, we want to be a Christian. We want to go to heaven. But let us go ahead and bring our own Jesus up there. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to justify their existence, their sinful way of life. By cutting, like you said, cutting and pasting the Word of God. And it's not going to work for them. You know, I remember Howard Pittman's testimony. You remember, at first he was a Baptist preacher. And when he died of a heart attack, and the Lord, stopped him at the gate, said, no, you got to go to hell. Well, what about this big church I built? What about this I did? And then the Lord told him, that's something you did. I didn't do it. Then I'm going to send you down to hell and let you look around a little while. And then you come back up and tell the people the truth. And that's what happened. So he came back out of death's door, came out of hell. God took him. I mean, God's grace and mercy was on that man and brought him out of hell and took him back and sent him back. And he started. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Be the first one of the first things he did. And from that point on, of course, he's still in a little bit of error, but he's at least come out of that particular doctrine. That had to have been a wake-up call for some Baptist preachers, I would think.
I would think so. Well, I remember reading, it's probably on the website somewhere. Years ago, I remember reading about a Buddhist monk that died, and they were getting ready to you know, they build a fire and put him in the fire and stuff like that. And he was laying in his coffin and laying in his, you know, whatever liquids came out of him or whatever. And he ended up coming alive, and he had met Jesus, and he was speaking Jesus. And it was kind of a cool testimony, but this is like a pretty renowned Buddhist monk that met the Lord and just started, you know, was resurrected from the dead, sent back from heaven, or sent back from hell, wherever he ended up, and came back, and he was just talking about meeting Jesus. So I thought it was a pretty cool testimony.
Yeah, I like that one about the Muslim that went down there and saw Muhammad down there in the lake of fire. That kind of shook him up too. But Lord sent him back, and of course he changed. That's just too many. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that testimony didn't go viral over in the Middle East, right?
I doubt seriously it went very far at all over there. I doubt it.
Well, sure, you know, banned.
He went in. He had some persecution before he escaped out of there from his own family.
I mean, even that testimony we had, I don't know, month or so back, as far as the ISIS guy, that same situation. He was dead. He was sent to hell, and he had to experience the beheadings he did and the people he killed from their eyes and stuff like that. And he was sent back. And I mean, he's trying to convert people over to Jesus now, because he was able to see the truth. So I guess we got to pray that the Lord will do more of that.
Well, it seems as though that the Lord Jesus is showing up in Muslim homes to people in dreams and visions, and in the natural, and also Hindus and all of these different, what we would call cults, and the Baptists would call cults. He's showing up over there in those foreign religions, and people are changing. God's just, he's getting ready, isn't he? He looks like he's getting this revival thing fixing to take off. Boy, that's going to be awesome. When that revival takes off, that's going to be an awesome time of repentance for a lot of Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and all of these type of people. You know, what we have to do, we have to pray for these people, because, you know, we were once in all of that. Most of us were in those different types of religions. But we just pray for them. You know, we've got family members that are in those mainline denominational churches that are just as dead as a hammer. They have entertainment on the weekend. Even the charismatics, you know, they even have their show on Sunday to draw the people in, instead of allowing God to do it. You know, they're doing it themselves. So, but God's got a plan, and we're going to see these people come in. We're going to see a lot of them come in that thought they knew they had it, when in fact they're all lost, according to the Word of God, anyway.
Amen. Yeah, I remember Garrett sharing that he got invited. A friend of his wanted him to go to church with him, and he ended up going to this. It was a big mega church, you know, 3,000 people or something. And he said that when the show started, all the lights in the church went down, and the only light was coming from the stage. And, you know, they had the big screens and the lights going on and, you know, whatever the show involved. He said, even if you had a Bible with you, you couldn't read it because it was so dark in there. So you couldn't even follow, you know, you couldn't even open your Bible because there was no light in the church, you know, where they were sitting. It was just only on the stage. So it was just like being in a, you know, a movie theater or an entertainment theater type thing. It was, he said you couldn't even read your Bible if you wanted to. So, you know, that's where it's getting. So Father, right now, we just lift up your people, Lord. There's people out there that love you. There's people out there that think that they are, you know, just running after you, but they don't know, Lord. They're caught up in traditions of man. They're caught up in false doctrines. They're under false teachers and false prophets. They're caught up in Kundalini. They're caught up in running after the anointing, which is not of you. They're caught up in these false signs and wonders of drunkenness spirit and, you know, gold dust and all these false things that they think are you. And Father, we just come together, Lord, and we just pray for our family members. We pray for the people that think they have you that are really lost. We pray that you will just grant them salvation, Lord. Father, we know it's going to take a shaking. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just put, especially in just our family members that we've been praying for, Lord, you just put a hunger for truth in them, that you'll take the scales off their eyes and the scales off their ears, that you will just show them the apostasy that they're in, the hypocrites that they're following, the prosperity, you know, that they're running after, the materialism and the riches of the world and calling it Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you just expose these false Jesus, false Baal Jesuses that are out there that are just pleasing the flesh and just growing the old man and keeping the old man alive and just feeding him. Lord, we just thank you for just exposing that to, you know, the loved ones we've been praying for. Religion, these religious spirits, the traditions of man just going in with the robes and the incense and all these, this show, the lights and the big screens and all the shows that are being put on just to tickle the ears and just to please the flesh. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just expose this to the people that truly love you, that are truly running after you, Lord. Father, that you would just show them that they just need to seek you and not seek man to teach them. And we just thank you for just drawing them out, Lord, calling them out and allowing them, you know, give them dreams, give them visions, allow them to see the serpents that they're, you know, being led by, and the people that are just the distortioners that are distorting that, you know, the money out of them and calling it, you know, just, you know, the fruits of the Lord, or, you know, whatever the lies are. Father, we just thank you for just opening their eyes and just showing them truth, Lord, and just giving them a boldness to act on what they see, and we just bind up complacency, and we bind up just fear of man, we bind up rejection, we just bind up religious spirits, we just bind up all these spirits that keep them in deception. And we just thank you for just working in our loved ones, working in the lost that really love you, Lord, and to you know, just to bring them the truth, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone out there, you know, to lead them to, you know, to some of David's teachings or just some true gospel teachings out there to show them the deception they're in. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody got anything on their mind, on their heart to share? How about you, Albert? You got anything that the Lord's been showing you?
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just thankful that, you know, and I think what's going on now, especially with all this chaos in the world, you know, from ISIS, same-sex marriage, you know, just one thing after another, just unending, ongoing, the climate and of the country and the world for that fact, but the climate of the country is definitely set for martial law to be implemented, and it's as you and Brother Mike were speaking a few minutes ago, you know, it's Christ in us, I hope of glory, bearing the fruit of Christ, and I've come to realize that so many people out in the worldly church, you know, they're journeying, they're traveling, and just like we used to be, I remember I used to think, well, you know, if I study enough, if I, you know, get in the Word enough, you know, some kind of way my flesh is going to get better. But my flesh is never going to get any better. No one's flesh is ever going to get any better. And it's not that at some point in time our flesh gets better and then we can be all that God has to be. Sometimes some kind of way we'll change and be, you know, it's, we must, Christ exchanged. Now that's what I've come to realize. It's about a exchanged life. Christ in me, my hope of glory. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's what that's where, you know, I hit my head up against the wall for years and years and years. You know, some days you feel, okay, I'm close to the Lord, I'm, you know, I'm there, and then before you know it, that flesh rears its ugly head, comes down off that cross again. And you just caught up in this cycle because I just didn't realize at the time that, you know, it's got to, you know, we got to come to that realization that it's that we die with Christ and we rose with Him, and that's where so many people in religion, you know, they're looking, they're seeking, and, you know, like you just got through praying, Tim, is, you know, they just don't know. Like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then if God doesn't give them the realization that it's an exchange life, no matter how much we try to explain it to them or get them to see it, they're not going to get it because that flesh, that strong man, is still controlling their flesh. And they'll get to a point where, you know, they get offended. They're offended when you try to say, share what the Lord is doing in your spirit and bringing you to, you know, another level of glory, from glory to glory. And so I'm now, just wanting to just love my enemies, you know, just love them and deny myself for them, and just let Christ love them through me, and just not, just continue to manifest Christ and keep my old nature on the cross. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's something else that the church really doesn't understand is just putting to death the old man and allowing Christ to live through you. And there's more that can be done with people seeing Christ in you than trying to preach to them or anything like that. And that's where the Lord has kind of taken me, is just walk as Christ walked the best ability you can. I mean, not in hypocrisy or anything like that, but just loving on people and just caring for people. And if the Lord opens the door, share a testimony, just share how good God is, or, you know, whatever it is. Just allow them to see Christ in you, and they see something's different. And there's times, I mean, I remember there was a time where I had left the grocery store, and there was just something, I don't even know what it was, something little and insignificant in the cart that I didn't pay for. I got, jammed in the cart. I don't even know what it was. Could have been a lemon or, something insignificant. But I came back in and said, hey, I found this in the cart and I didn't pay for it. It might have been a 25 or 50 cent item. And this person looked at me like I had three eyes. It was so funny. It was just like, why did you even come in, is the attitude behind her. I can't believe you came in. And I just gave the glory to the Lord and says, it's not right to steal. The Lord, wouldn't be happy with me or whatever I said. And it was just, I just shared, whatever I could. And it was like, this person just was set back. When you do something a little like that, so that's all we can do, is just walk in the knowledge we have, just try to portray Christ in us and not have an attitude or anything like that, or get pulled in. That's the other thing is, I used to, when I was in the church, I would act one way around the people of the church when I was around them, but when I was in the field with the contractors and that, I'd start acting just like them. And when I started coming into the fullness of the Lord, there was one time where I told a kind of a lewd joke to some contractors, and I felt the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and it was the conviction of the Lord, and that was the last lewd joke I told. It was awesome. It was just, I just knew that I'd stepped over the line, that I was not portraying Christ. I was coming into the fullness of what David was teaching, walking Christ-like, and here I'm being a total hypocrite. I'm out there amongst the construction guys, talking like them, being lewd, whatever it is, and the Lord just brought conviction. And from that point on, I quit. It was just, it was kind of neat. So, and that's all we got to do is when the Lord shows us that we're in sin or we're in error, that we just need to change our minds, repent, and just move in another direction. So, amen. All right, anybody else got something on their heart?
I got a short testimony.
Okay.
One day, me and David was in Walmart, and we had probably $50 in the grocery cart, and we went up there to those self-serve thing, We got messed up, and you know, trying to figure out that how to check out, and we got about halfway through it, and something wouldn't register as some fruit or something. We didn't know how to do it, and we had the lady come over there, and that was maybe the middle of it, and then we had something right at the end of it that we had to call her back over there to help us out, and we finally sacked it all up and just walked out. And as we were driving home, I'm thinking, did we pay for that? And I asked David, I said, did we pay for that? He said, I don't know. So when we got home, we looked through all the grocery sacks for the receipt. There was no receipt. We walked out of there without paying for it. And so I called back down to the Walmart, and I said, I need to talk to the lady down there at the where you serve yourself. And I said, we walked out of there without paying for that. And said, but we're coming right back down there to pay for it. She said, I know. Said I didn't know you walked out until she was off then, fixing to get off. She said, until I got all that checked out and I saw that you hadn't paid. So we went back down there and paid for it. So it's not hard to walk out of there without paying for something. But we went back and took care of it.
Amen. All right, anybody else got a testimony or something on their heart?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Gaynold.
Yeah, so am I underwater?
No, you sound great.
Okay. I was going to share a verse that I got this morning, and I really believe that it does go along with what you've been discussing all evening. The verse that I got was 1 Corinthians 15:10, and it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not found vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And I just really felt that this verse does go along with what you've been speaking about, because we are what we are because of the grace of God. And, you know, He wants us to seek His truth, but, you know, He's the one that has to give us that understanding to open our eyes and our ears so that we can see and hear what He has for us. And anyway, I just wanted to share that verse. I thought that because we are what we are because of Him, because of His grace. And I'm so thankful for His grace because I've blown it so many times, and He's been there for me. And I just wanted to share that verse.
Amen.
Yeah. And actually, the other verses I got were on healing, and I was claiming those for myself as well as everyone else down there. And just wanted to thank everyone just for their hospitality, and just to let you all know that we were so blessed by our week with you, with all of you in Madisonville, and especially enjoyed the prayer meetings and the praise and worship and the fellowship. Well, actually, I guess all of it. So it's we live quite a few hours away, so I think it took us about 19 hours to get home. So we're a little ways away. Yeah, so.
So you did enjoy yourself.
We did enjoy ourselves a whole lot, and you just really we're blessed by just the fellowship with everyone, and we just really feel, you know, like a part of you, and we're in the extended UBM, but the greater UBM, but you know, you're all in our prayers and in our thoughts, and it was just really a blessing for us, and just wanted to share that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
So we really enjoy when we have visitors come in and you know, come in for a pot blessing or come in and, you know, just, you know, spend a little bit of time and, you know, get to know each other and that. But it's definitely a blessing. You know, we get
it's
to
always
see.
Nice to put a face with a voice that you hear.
Yeah, it's true. Nobody ever looks like what you expect.
Not really, but it was really a blessing just, you know, to meet the others who were there visiting also. It's just, you know, we came from a lot of different directions, but it was really neat. It was a lot of fun. So,
well,
anyway, I guess that's all I wanted to share, and just wish you God's blessings, and thank you very much for everything that you were a part of. We were down there, and we just really enjoyed it, and we were blessed. So thank you.
We enjoyed you guys, too. It was a good time. So, but all right.
Okay.
Thanks, Gaynold.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, right, Tim, baby. I got a text from Julie Teague out in California. She wants us to pray and agree with her for healing for Isabella, her boss's 13-year-old. She's at the ER with abdominal. Yeah. they'll probably feel like it to her, with abdominal pain. they think maybe her appendix may have bust on her, so let's just lift her up.
Okay, go
in
ahead.
The name of Jesus right now, we come against this attack on Isabella. We command those appendix to be healed in Jesus' name. We command everything in her, every cell, every organ in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. We command that pain to subside now in the name of Jesus.
Name
and
of
Father,
Jesus.
We thank you that Isabella is healed, and it's going to confound the doctors. And we praise you, Lord, that she is a believer and her parents are believers. And we just praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Isabella right now. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Father,
so Isabella
be that,
healed.
Yeah, we pray that, you know, those doctors don't open her up or do an exploratory or anything like that, that this healing will come swiftly, and there'll be no explanation, and that you'll get the glory. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else got it, anything on their heart?
Well, I'd like to kind of go back to the topic that Gaynold was talking about, her visit.
Uh-huh.
I just got approval by my husband to come and visit.
Awesome.
So, yeah. But I don't know yet when for sure, because I need to talk to Belinda. Is Belinda on tonight?
I don't see her right
think
now.
So.
No,
yeah.
Okay. Because I was just going to issue whether I was going to ask her if I could give her a call quick after the outreach. Anyway, okay. But yeah, as long as it's good for Belinda, I'm planning on being there for the May 2nd pop blessing.
Okay, awesome.
Do you know where it's going to be, Missy?
No.
That's a good thing. We're just not going to tell you where it's going to be. You're just going to have to come down and hunt it up.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't care.
No,
care
we're just kidding.
I know. Yeah. I know. You're just yanking my chain. So, yeah, I can't wait. And as long as it works for Belinda, I got permission to be gone for 9 days. One day back down and one day back and a whole week there. So.
Well, praise God.
Yeah, so I can't wait. We just got to make sure it's all right with Belinda.
Hey, listen, you need to talk Jackie and Barbara to come down with you.
I don't know how I'll ask them, but I don't know if that's going to work for them, especially that long. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll talk to them. With Jackie, I don't know how that's going to work with her to get my drift. I don't think she'll be able to because of her leg.
Oh, she'll be fine.
Okay.
She can limp down here.
Is she
limp
on?
down
limp down and walk back, right?
That's right.
Is she on tonight?
No, she's not on.
Okay.
That's why we can talk about her. We'll tell her. I'll tell her. I'll call her tomorrow or text her tomorrow and tell her we talked about her. She should have been on here.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Lord. You work out all the details.
Awesome.
We're looking forward to seeing you, Missy.
Yeah. Ditto.
All right. Anybody, anybody else got any thoughts on their mind? How about Aaron? You got any revelations? You've been awfully quiet the last few weeks.
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome.
Oh, I've just been, brother, I guess I've just been just waiting on the Lord, you know, and just, Lord's been teaching me a lot about humility and just let my words be few and just waiting on him. And that's about it.
Humility and waiting on the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just, I don't know, I guess the Lord's been showing me the value in that and just how there's just been times when it's like I just feel like, you know, the Spirit really impressed something on me to share, and it just comes out, you know, just the way the Lord wants it, and so praise the Lord. And he's just been, and also the Lord's been talking to me a lot about just really, you know, pray without ceasing and you know, casting down all thoughts, any thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God and imaginations and just learning to, you know, as the darts come, because there's times where it's like, you know, the Lord's showing me where, you know, like just through the discernment of the Spirit, like, oh, that was a dart. Okay, don't receive that. And there's just been a lot more rest and just waiting on the Lord, resting in prayer, letting the Lord, you know, I guess just been really just learning to let the Lord walk me through it instead of trying so hard, you know, let the Lord do it. And yeah, it's been really good. Praise the Lord.
No, that's awesome. I mean, that's an awesome place to be because it's just, you know, I just went through, I just, you know, every once in a while I just go through these little trials and it really, it's really the obedience of taking the thoughts captive. And, you know, if you can really get honed in on that, and I've been doing the same thing. It's just trying to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, you know, whenever I can. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, and if I just lay there, most times I'll get up, but sometimes I'll just kind of lay there to see if I fall back to sleep, and I'll just start getting these thoughts in my mind, or, you know, sometimes they're just attacks or some, you know, just, if I'm just laying there idle, I can see where sometimes the enemy will come in, and so I've been learning to just kind of lay there and just pray in the Spirit. And if I don't fall back to sleep, because sometimes, you know, it's still dark out or whatever it is when I wake up, and if I don't fall back to sleep, then I'll just, you know, lay there a little while, just pray in the Spirit, then get up and then get the Word. But the enemy is looking for every opportunity. So really that the obedience of taking the thoughts captive, and that's what I shared, I think, Tuesday night is, I went up, you know, I went up to Walmart and I just saw some people up there that, it was so awesome because what the Lord showed me in the past, I would be critical towards these people. And he just gave me this compassion and I just started to pray. And it was just so awesome just to take the thoughts captive and to have compassion for people and not think you're better than somebody or pride or, you know, whatever that was, that, you know, criticalness, just having compassion. It was just such an awesome feeling inside. And I just felt that was just, that was the love of Jesus. It really was. I just, my heart just, you know. And today we're driving, and I was with Trish, and we saw there was actually two people walking down the street, and, you know, and Trish was like, you know, it was raining out, and they looked, you know, a little out of place in the city we were in. And I knew that the guy was a homeless guy, because I tried to administer to him one day, and I went up to try to talk to him, and, you know, he was just full of demons. But, but I'd seen him in the, you know, around there, and I tried to talk to him once, and I said, well, you know, I know he's homeless, she's probably homeless, but man, I just had compassion for this guy. It was like awesome. It was really awesome. So, because they look pretty rough. And so I just see that as, you know, Christ starting to manifest and just walking in that love, that meekness, that, you know, for his people. Because when you really look around and you're out in the world, there's just so many just hurting people, so many. You just see the looks on their face, and you just see, you know, you can look at them and just see the pain, and you can see the hurt, and you can see the bruises and just all that in these people. And they're just, you know, some of them just have blank looks on their face, and a lot of them are probably just drugged up, you know, and that's how they're getting through life. So it's just, I don't know, there's so many hurting people and lost people out there that really need Christ. And a lot of these people, when you talk to them, the Lord will open up the door. And a lot of these people got hurt by religion. And, you know, they were put under the law, or, you know, whatever the situation was, or rebuked, or I don't even know. But there's a lot of people that were hurt by religion out there that just need to see the love of Christ. So,
amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. You know, the Lord's been teaching me a lot about that too. And something I've noticed is just been, it's like when releasing everything to the Lord, and this whole thing about really being walking free, you know, from self-works, you know, having just, you know, not trying to strive, you know, to be righteous in the Lord and try to, you know, prove something to the Lord. The Lord's been showing me how, when we're abiding in the rest, how much of the love of Christ comes out of us. And because we're not burdened down, you know, by all these cares of, you know, these, of, I guess you would say, you know, religious spirits, or trying, you know, self-striving, you know, being so really focused on trying to follow all these ordinances and whatever it is. The Lord's been showing me how much just by releasing cares, you know, releasing burdens to Him, asking Him to really, really take our hand, you know, show us, you know, when we're unsure about something to ask Him, you know, just stuff like that, you know, and how it's really just resting in Him, trusting Him, praying, you know, seeking Him. How when we're in the rest and we're abiding in the rest, how the love of Christ comes out, and how it's just there. It's like the Lord, it's just awesome. The Lord's been showing me a lot about that lately too, you know, so I'm not, you know, I can actually be attentive, you know, at times, you know, when the Lord does happen to bring somebody across my path, or I happen to be working with somebody that's, that I can see demons on, and they're without, you know, and it's just awesome, you know, just to be in that place and just let the Lord fill your heart up with His love, and not to try to gain the love of the Lord, or try to build up, you know, try to be in that place of self-striving, how big of a difference it is. And something the Lord has kind of shown me too is, you know, is that really, you know, it's really a gift from Him, and all these things are gifts. And another thing too, I just if you don't mind me just throwing this in here, the Lord did just remind me of something just now, just about, like, praying without ceasing, and like, because I used to get into, you know, like, you know, the word says to, that we're not heard by our much speaking. But the Lord's also told me that there is a prayer of importunity, along with not just that, but also just, you know, really lifting everything to the Lord. So it really depends, you know, like, the Lord was showing me, okay, it doesn't mean that we're not steadfast in prayer, you know, and the Lord, it's like something the Lord's been showing me about, like, really believing and trusting in Him is there's been things where I've lifted to Him. What's that?
No, go on.
Oh, okay, sorry. There's just been some things that the Lord has had me really lift to Him lately that I wasn't before, or I was, but then, you know, it was just like I wasn't totally abiding in the rest about some things. And so just lifting them to Him, it's like the Lord's just showing me by just lifting something to Him, you know, whether it's a, you know, if it's a burden or something you're desiring, you know, to endure in your faith to see the Lord, you know, do just something awesome. It's like the Lord's been showing me how when we do that, we're going to have these fiery darts thrown at us. And in those moments, in times past, I used to think, oh, you know, like that's coming back or whatever. Like, oh, is that really, did I really have faith the first time I prayed for it? You know, and the Lord was just showing me, like, no, you just keep agreeing. Like, no matter how many times those fiery darts come, just keep saying, no, I believe you, Lord. And one of those areas I've been trusting the Lord for is, you know, it's like the Lord blessing my teeth and my gums and all that. And how at times, you know, it's like the Lord's been, you know, just small things like that. And there's been times where, you know, I felt pain in certain parts, my mouth, and then, you know, in the moment that I feel that pain, then it's like that fiery dart comes at me of doubt or unbelief. And then lately the Lord's been saying, well, you know, like the Lord's just right there, you know, like, you know, holding out His hand. And it's just like the Lord's been helping me recognize, oh, just keep believing, confess against it, like whenever it happens. And then I would actually feel, I'd feel the discomfort or pain go away. And I would actually feel like my teeth or my gums would be like getting cleansed. It's kind of interesting. I just wanted to share that. I just, you know, I know that in the tribulation, there might even be times where we might not necessarily be, you know, be able to have a toothbrush or floss or whatever, you know, and we'll have to rely on the Lord for even those things. But He's just been teaching me to surrender to Him in all these little areas and just to really not be anxious or worried about anything, you know. And if there's ever a dart of anxiousness or worry, just agree with the Word, you know, just thank the Lord that that it's not you and that you're no longer, you know, that you've been crucified unto Him. And anyway, I know we're, yeah, 4 minutes after, so I just wanted to throw that little bit in. The Lord just kind of reminded me of that. So that's kind of what He's been doing with me lately.
No, that was a great testimony, because I know that the more I enter into the rest, the easier it is to see when I'm not in the rest. So the longer I'm in the rest, when I start getting out, it's more, you know, I can see it. And the goal is to stay in that rest. And once you're there, it's so awesome. But like you said, those fiery darts or life, you know, comes at you in these different situations that try to get you out of that rest. And if you can just pray about it and just, you know, take it, because I do the same thing with, you know, pains in my body. I just rebuke it and just stand on that. And the more you do it, they'll go. And then you don't even think about it. But in the past, I would get, you know, fall, oh, wonder what that is, or you know, and get pulled into doubt or, you know, whatever the enemy was trying to bring forth. But, yeah, it's so awesome. And that's really where he wants us. So we were talking about that the other day, is just when we realize that the Lord entered the rest, you know, on the seventh day, and he's been in the rest since then, and that's where he wants us. He just wants us to pray it, believe it, and enter that rest and take our vain imaginations and cast them down and just try to stay in that rest. So, no, that was an awesome testimony. So, all right. Before we close out, what's that, Aaron?
Oh, just really quick, just one more thing the Lord's impressing me. When the fiery darts come, the Lord's been telling me, you know, because in times past I would think, oh, you know, what's in me that's causing this or whatever, you know, like the Lord's been telling me, no, it's just a fiery dart. It's not, you're dead. You know, you're dead to self. So it's not you. It's the enemy, you know, and just keep going in faith. Anyway, that's it.
Yeah, that's another ploy of the enemy. The accuser tries to get us into condemnation. Doesn't want us to see him behind it. Wants to think we're doing something wrong. So, all right. Anybody else before we close out? Need prayer? Or anything before? All right.
Tim. Tim.
All right, Missy.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for prayer. Alex had one of his classmates, his name is Jake, this past Monday committed suicide, and we went to the viewing tonight, and, you know, Merle and I never met him or anything. He was in two classes with Alex. But anyway, my heart just went out to the parents. They're divorced and both are remarried, but... And he had a brother that was 2 years younger, but they just don't know why. From what Alex said, you know, they just don't know why he did this. He didn't leave any kind of a note or anything. And it was like nobody absolutely cannot understand it. So I just feel for them. And Alex said to me that I asked him if he's a Christian. He said no. And I said, well, Alex, I said, I've read enough testimonies to know that there are people who die and the Lord speaks to them and the Lord gives them opportunity, you know, they repent and believe in the Lord and the Lord gives them opportunity to go and be with him or come back, you know. I said, so I'm just saying that to say that, you know, maybe someday you'll see him in heaven and you can say, hey, my mom told me that I might see you someday, no matter how it looks now, you know, so just, But Father, we just ask you to turn this situation around for good, and that you would bring salvation out of this, Lord. We just ask you to bring salvation to the family and comfort them and help them to know that you are the Savior and you're the only way. Do the way, the truth, and the life, and apart from you, Lord, there is no hope, Lord, and just bring them into the saving knowledge of you. We just ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we just ask you just comfort Alex and his classmates during this time, Lord, and Father God, use this tragic situation to just to get them out of their, you know, their complacency and to seek out what life is all about and what salvation is all about and how fragile life is. And Lord, we just thank you for just drawing these classmates to you, Lord, and just use this to, just to allow them to get their eyes on reality and what life is all about. And we just thank you for working in them, and we pray for just fruit to come forth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
So, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night together that we're able to just come together and share And Lord, we just pray that you just bless everybody's week, Lord. You just continue to give them just a hunger to stay in the rest. Teach us all how to just stay in your rest, Lord, and not get pulled into the anxieties and worries and fears and doubts and all the things, all the fiery darts that the enemy throws at us, Lord. Just help us to build our faith where we pray it and believe it and enter your rest, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, just continue to give us hunger for your word and just show us the distractions that keep us out of the word, Lord. And Lord, just point out anything in us that is unpleasing to you so we can just get right with you, Lord. We just ask for your gifts, Lord, that you'll just pour out your gifts of discerning of spirits and prophecy and just, give us revelation knowledge, Lord, and allow us to just to understand the gifts that you have given us, Lord, and to exercise those gifts. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. You say we do not have because we do not ask. We're asking that you just pour out your gifts on us, Lord, so, we can just learn to use these gifts and be used of you in the times to come. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Father, bless everybody, wasn't able to come in tonight, and bless everybody that's been in the room tonight. And we just ask you just guide us all, Lord, this week, Lord. Just allow us to teach us to walk in your spirit and be led of the spirit, not be led of our flesh. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.